Singer Joe Williams died last night at the age of 80. He became famous in 1955 when he recorded the blues song Every Day with the Count Basie Band. By the time Williams joined Basie in 1954, he was already a veteran of the big bands, having sung with Coleman Hawkins, Lionel Hampton, Jimmy Noon, Erskine Tate, and Andy Kirk. After leaving Basie in 1961, Williams had a flourishing solo career. And in the 80s, he played Bill Cosby's father-in-law, Grandpa Al, on The Cosby Show. Jazz critic Whitney Balliot once wrote, "Williams is two equally accomplished singers. One is the famous blues singer, and the other is the almost unknown ballad singer." Before we hear an interview with Williams, let's hear a ballad he recorded with Basie in 1956.
I'm gonna love you like nobody's loved you, come rain or come shine. High as a mountain and deep as a river, come rain or come shine. I guess when you met me, it was just one of those things. But don't ever bet me, 'cause I'm gonna be true if you let me. You're gonna love me like nobody's loved me, come rain or come shine. Happy together, unhappy together, and won't it be fine? Days may be cloudy or sunny, we're in or we're out of the money, but I'm with you always, I'm with you rain or shine.
Joe Williams with the Basie Band in 1956. I spoke with Joe Williams in 1989.
Chicago must have been a terrific place to get started as a singer, because all the bands would pass through there to play, and a lot of the bands came out of Chicago.
Yeah, they all had to come through Chicago to get the stamp, so to speak, you know.
When you were underage, did you find ways to sneak into the clubs to see the bands?
Yes. I was always big for my age anyway, and I was very quiet. And I just wanted to observe. I'd get in a corner someplace and sit down. The owners would come over and sit with me and give me coffee and ice cream and pie and stuff like that, you know. And I'd hear somebody on the stage, and I'd say, "Oh, gee, I can sing better than that," you know. And they'd say, "Be quiet and listen," yeah. Which was good advice, because you learn many things when you listen. Sometimes you learn what not to do as well.
Singing with a lot of different bands in the 1940s, did you find that the singer had a different role in each band? By that I mean, you know, that in some bands the singers were really important, maybe in other bands they were not considered as necessary. And did the musicians, you were saying the musicians were really supportive of you, were they always that way in the
yes.
band? Or did they sometimes feel like the singers took attention away from their own musicianship?
I never felt that. Because if you sing like a musical instrument, for instance, you don't try to cover up your support. You sing with the support. In other words, it's a little bit like a drummer. A drummer is supposed to play, just try not to get in the way, is the expression that was used by one drummer, Sonny Greer, who was with the Ellington Orchestra. And try not to get in the way. That's what a drummer's job is for. The musical swing, if you try not to get in the way, and the same thing with the singer. You don't get in the way. You're the soloist. So you can punctuate, make a statement, but you don't get in the way of the music itself. And it gives everybody a chance to contribute. You mustn't ever have someone back there, have a section back there feeling, my part is not important. You know, my part is important. And if it's done subtly, you know, then I have to make room for it so that it's heard. And heard the way they want it to be heard.
In 1948, I think it was, you had a nervous breakdown.
47.
You spent about a year in the hospital?
Yeah, 47, I think it was, yeah.
What were your symptoms, so to speak? What was going wrong?
Oh, gosh, symptoms now. Well, I didn't want to go out anywhere. I don't think I could get dressed and go out in the street even, you know. Severe depression. And a number of things might have brought it on. But I think it was just trying to decide what I wanted to do, whether I really wanted to do what I was doing or what.
Whether you wanted to sing or not? Or whether you wanted to sing with the bands you were singing with?
Yeah, what I wanted to sing or what I wanted to do with my life, really. I went into a severe depression because I used to get high every day, of course, you know, and I stopped that just like that. I stopped that like I stopped smoking cigarettes. And, like, one day I was smoking, the next day I wasn't.
You getting high on marijuana?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So when you had this big crisis and figured out you had to decide which direction you wanted to head in, did you check yourself into the hospital? Or?
Mm. No, my wife put me in the hospital. She checked me into the hospital. And I spent a year in diagnostic. They didn't know what to do with me, really. They had no idea what to do with me, I don't think.
Did you feel like
they
you belonged?
They gave me electric shock and insulin shock. And
electric shock must have been in the really experimental stages in 1947.
I'm a living experiment.
You must have been terrified when you knew you were going to get electroshock therapy.
When you see the people that have had electric shock, then you can have some apprehension. But when you see the other people who've had the treatment, you can become apprehensive.
But you hadn't seen anyone yet, so you didn't know what it was you were supposed to be worrying about.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah. You know,
well, what effect did it have on you?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, it knocks you out, for one thing. So I don't know what might have happened during the times that I was knocked out. I have no idea about that. But eventually it stopped. They stopped it. And I don't know. It's... I was busy observing people around me in there, you know, like, wow. Some people who'd been there for 25 years and stuff, you know, like that. And I could see how easy that was a trap you could fall into. Where the state would take care of you and you eat, you know. Food was good. You know, on Sundays you go to church. You go to choir rehearsals during the week. And they had an orchestra in there, a symphony orchestra. A concert orchestra as well as a dance orchestra. And there was, you know, rehearsals and what have you. And I was working with the band there. And it was quite an experience.
We're listening to a 1989 interview with Joe Williams, who died yesterday. We'll hear more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Singer Joe Williams died yesterday at the age of 80. We're listening to an excerpt of a 1989 interview. I asked him to talk about how he first joined Count Basie's band on the day after Christmas in 1954. Who had been the singer right before you?
Nobody.
He had not had a singer for a few years?
Yeah, that's right.
What made him decide to take you on?
I don't know. He sent for me to come by his hotel in Chicago, and we talked. And he said, I can't give you much or what you're worth, but I can give you something, and why don't you come with me and see what people all over the country think of your work? And as things get better for me, they'll get better for you, you know? And That's all it was. And so he sent me a money order. That was in September. But a week before Christmas, he sent me a money order telegram, and I booked a flight to LaGuardia from Chicago, from Chicago's Midway, and joined the band, and we got together with arrangers named Frank Foster and Ernie Wilkins. And Ernie made Every Day. Frank Foster made The Comeback, and All Right, Okay, You Win, and Every Day I'll Fall in Love All Over Again with You, and most of our things. Teach Me Tonight, Ernie Wilkins made, you know.
Let me ask you about the big hit, the first big hit you had with Basie,
yeah.
Every Day. Was it your idea to record this?
Yeah.
Why did you choose it?
Because I like it.
That's a good reason.
Yeah, he was so funny. Basie said, do you know any of Jimmy's things? You know, Jimmy Rushing, who had been with him in the 30s.
Right.
You know, and 30s and the 40s, actually, you know. And I said, no, I don't know any. You don't know none of Jimmy's stuff? I said, no. He said, what do you know? Every Day.
Let me play Every Day.
All right.
And this was recorded in 1955. My guest, Joe Williams, and the Count Basie Orchestra.
Every day. Every day I have the blues. Every day. Every day I have the blues. Well, you see me worry, baby, because it's you I hate to lose. Nobody loves me. Nobody seems to care. Nobody loves me. Nobody seems to care. Speaking of bad luck and trouble, well, you know I've had my share. I'm gonna back my third game, moving on down the line. Well, there ain't nobody worrying and there ain't nobody crying. Seems to me every day, every day, every day I have the blues. Every day, every day, every day, every day I have the blues. You see me worry, baby, because it's you I hate to lose.
Do you find that your diction's different when you're singing blues and when you're singing, say, a ballad or a pop standard?
Not really, because if you don't understand the words, you can't, you couldn't enjoy it. I remember when I was singing blues someplace, and Harry Sweets Edison was with me at the time, and he would say, make it plain, and explain it, explain it, you know.
You never had formal vocal training.
No, not really.
As you get older, do you ever wish that you had formal vocal training that would keep your vocal cords in as good shape as possible, or do you know all that stuff anyways?
Know all what stuff?
About how to sing so that it doesn't hurt your vocal cords.
I guess I know. I don't know.
I mean, your voice is
in great shape. I guess I know, yeah. I was wondering why, you know.
Why is she asking me this?
Yeah, why is she asking
me this? Well, I've just met a lot of singers who didn't have vocal training and who at some point in their career go to a teacher or wish that they had because there's just so much stress that's put on their throat.
Yeah, no, I don't put any stress on me. Stress. I went through all that early. I got rid of all that in 1947. All the stress. Yeah, to do anything that's stressful now, nothing.
Can I ask you one last question?
What?
I noticed you're wearing a Jewish star.
That's on one side. On the other side is St. Genesius.
Oh.
The words guide my career.
Uh-huh. What words are those?
Guide My Career.
Oh, Guide My Career. Oh, okay.
Yeah. My wife gave me that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She's Jewish, or?
No. We just don't take any chances.
Well, I guess that's a good attitude.
Yeah. No.
Joe Williams recorded in 1989. He died yesterday at the age of 80.